We have hit the quarter mark of the NFL season. It's week five, and it is week five here of the Mojo Break Blitz. Cody here, Doug and Dan with me, and it has been an interesting start to the NFL season. Week four had plenty of headlines. Again, we in the card, in the hobby, are keeping an eye on the QBs. Joe Burrow had a fantastic week four. Let's start with you, Doug. What was one of your big takeaways from the past week in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow has, like, I think I mentioned this on the podcast already. I just love his fight, you know, and obviously he got that first win. And I think he's going to be great. So, Brady, you know, coming back from being down from the Chargers and leading them and getting five touchdowns as an old man, basically, is what people call him. So those are probably my biggest takeaways, especially for this hobby, is Brady and Burrow.
Yeah, probably my biggest takeaway was how exciting the Browns Cowboys game was. Yeah. Back and forth, shootout, Baker, Dak. I mean, as far as a hobby goes, Dak, 2016 rookie class. I always get it mixed up with 15, but 16. And then Baker, 2018. Baker looks good. The Browns might be the real deal. Defense needs a little work, mm-hmm. but also the Cowboys offense is phenomenal. But that was my one big takeaway, you know, is how exciting that game was.
Dak's,
love the shootouts.
Dak's prism cards are insane right now, and they're 1-3. I mean, I know he's thrown for almost 1,000 yards, but he's not winning games.
But 8-8 might win that division.
Yep.
And all you got to do is get to the dance. They win that division, and anything can happen.
The NFC East right now, combined record of 3-12-1.
So Uno. Don't forget that. That tie might get you into the playoffs.
That tie for the Eagles has them in first place right now with a win in Santa Clara. Absolutely nuts. But Dak Prescott's having, like, you look at the numbers, you take away the record, ignore that for a second. He's putting up, like, MVP-type numbers, historic numbers right now. Just doesn't have his defense backing him up at the moment. But, yeah, you're right, Dan, that offense.
He's the Mike Trout of football.
He Love. Kind of is. I mean, isn't it kind of just perfect the way it's gone for Dallas quarterbacks? This is just the way it goes, that they put up gaudy numbers and then can't really do anything with it in terms of the win-loss column, a la Tony Romo before him. So,
yeah, love the weapons. Love CeeDee Lamb being a rookie. Usually takes a year or two, and we've talked about it before with receivers, to really get into the flow of the NFL game, the pro game. But he is, I mean, he's electric.
Yeah.
Then you add the vet of Amari Cooper. They still got Michael Gallup.
Yep.
And probably the best running back in the league right now that's healthy.
That's healthy, yeah.
Is Elliott. So. Yeah. Cowboys offense can keep up with anybody.
They
no
should
doubt.
Be. They should be the top team in that division, and very winnable division. But we'll see how it goes. We're going to talk about some of the teams here at the quarter mark that have surprised us, some that have disappointed us. Who's a pretender, especially that Cowboys-Browns game. Keep that one in mind. You mentioned CeeDee Lamb. We're going to talk about some rookie wide receivers to keep an eye on for collectors. But I think first off, we got to talk about what may end up being the defining story of this season. COVID, it's been the defining story of the year, really, in every aspect of our lives. But especially in the NFL right now, the Tennessee Titans, as we are sitting here today, we're recording this on a Thursday before we start week five. The Titans had another player test positive. The latest that I've heard is that they may be angling for a Monday night game, maybe even Tuesday, which really makes things tough because, what, the Titans play the Bills this week. The Titans then have a Thursday night game in week six. So things are going to start to get really weird, really hairy here. And I guess for me, guys, and Dan, you could start off here. For me, this is like this almost feels like an unforced error for the NFL. We all knew this was going to happen at some point, whether it be a huge outbreak or a few guys getting it. Like, someone was bound to get COVID at some point in the NFL. So for me, the NFL had all of the time in the world to figure this out and to plan this out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge failure from leadership that they didn't have a plan here, like an extra bye week or something, some way to avoid this. It just feels like a situation that could have been totally avoided.
Well, and somebody cannot play a Tuesday night and then play Thursday night. I mean, that can't happen, right?
No.
I mean,
might as well run a doubleheader.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Play the 10 a.m. game and then roll right into a 1 p.m. game.
Unless they give them like 100 players to choose from, right? Or like, we'll just call
them. They can't do that because it wouldn't be fair to the
other teams.
The other 31 teams. But, man, I agree with Cody. It's not like COVID happened during the football season. It's not like they didn't have time to prepare for situations like this. And they did. They did to an extent. They allowed a larger practice squad. They should have done more with that. I mean, they should have added 15, 20 extra players to the practice squad, but I don't know if the owners are going to want that. I don't know if the Players Association would like that. But you took away preseason, and that's 4 weeks. Why didn't you just space out the regular season and give each team 4 bye weeks just in case?
Right.
Just in case. I know that's crazy, but
or at least two.
But if you have four, you're probably going to not run into a situation where you're gonna need more than
well,
four.
Well, I think the fear, I think it was like kind of a race, because I think they were fearing that come February and March they don't know what the situation's gonna be with COVID. I mean, we don't know what the situation is.
But you gotta figure
general.
The longer it goes, the better the optics, the better situation we're going to be in, right?
No, I 100% agree, but I think the commissioner, I think Goodell, and I think the owners, and maybe even, you know, TV royalties, they wanted it to just go quick as possible and hope for nothing to happen.
But people love football. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to extend it out. Have, you know, more Sunday night games, more Monday night games, more Thursday night games, more primetime games, and just extend it out. Play the Super Bowl instead of February. Play it in April.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and football's going to have the center stage for many, many months without any competition, right? Because finals are almost over and baseball's going to be over in a few weeks too. So they could have definitely extended it. I don't know. Maybe some philosophy is, you know, if your team plays, you don't want to lose momentum by having them have too many weeks off and making people wait and maybe find something else they're interested in. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But it seems like they could have easily planned out the extra bye weeks and they chose not to.
I mean,
there's got to be a reason behind it.
Well, I mean, what with the situation we're in right now, what are they going to do with the Titans? You can't add bye weeks now.
No.
So, I mean, I think with not thinking ahead and maybe doing a little bit more than expected, I think they put themselves in a situation where, like you were saying, like a Tuesday and then have them play Thursday. That is tough. How do you prepare
for a
team in one? How do you recover from the game?
Well, I was going to say the
And
injuries.
How do you prepare for your next opponent? It's impossible.
No, you can't. You absolutely can't. And, it's not like in baseball where, you know what, they kind of could figure it out on the fly, even though, again, they probably shouldn't have either. But with the nature of the game, you can just make it up with doubleheaders. We saw it all season long. You just can't do that in football. And I think the thing that really the point I want to drive home is, like, remember back in March when all of this started, you know, the NBA gets canceled, Rudy Gobert gets it, Tom Hanks gets it, the world is completely in shambles. The NFL was like business as usual, free agency's here. Their whole thing has been about, we want to make it feel normal. This is a normal NFL season. We're going to deal with it. But I think not only for them, but for the fans, to give them a sense of normalcy. Personally, it feels good on Sunday to watch the NFL and watch a full slate of games, because in a year that has not felt normal, that feels normal. So I think they wanted to do that for fans and obviously for the owners, and to, you know, to make sure they get as much money as possible. That's clear. But I think there was a little bit to be like, the fans wanted to feel normal. But, man, in a way, it's not like they were bragging about, like, oh, we're fine and everybody else is in shambles. But in a way, the NFL kind of going about business as usual was them just being like, don't worry, we're invincible. We're the NFL. We're going to deal with this. And it's totally bitten them in the butt.
I have a question. Is there going to be a Pro Bowl this year?
No way.
I was going to say.
The one good thing about all this, no Pro Bowl.
No doubt. But, like, doesn't that necessarily give them an extra week to play with before the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, there could be that preparation, right? So maybe the NFC, AFC championships are now, which is, I think, a better idea anyway. I know you want to give these guys weeks to rest before the Super Bowl, but I think Sunday's the games, and then next Sunday is the Super Bowl. Yeah. I like that idea. I know as a fan, waiting that extra 2 weeks and then slubbing through a Pro Bowl that's just pointless. I don't even think – I can't even remember the last time I watched the Pro Bowl, maybe like 94, 95. I've maybe seen some highlights, but I have no interest.
That 2 weeks is – it's all about the media.
I get that.
Which is not going to be a thing this year because they're not going to have a media day.
They can do Zoom like they usually stuff, do. Right?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to media night be a Zoom media night, so – who cares? It's that whole extra week where they have to get media in and obviously the rest of the players. But really, it is to prep and get media.
They'll probably do it
all
on one night, like a Tuesday night.
No need for it. Yeah, no need for it. Yeah, I think that's probably the call.
I got a question for you guys, and this is not going to be a popular question, but at what point does the NFL have to suspend the season?
And I don't think they do.
No, you think nothing? I mean,
I think it would have to be like 5 or 6 teams outbreak. Like at a time,
which could happen. I mean, but you think it has to be 5 to 6 teams, and you think they suspend it and then pick it up later?
Yeah, I think
they definitely
can't.
Like they can't do anything with the games. They can't like shorten the season. They can't make it a 10-game season or something like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I
don't take my football away. Please.
Don't do it. don't do it.
I see. I think it might be as low as like 2 to 3 teams because you're seeing how much one team getting an outbreak is affecting this.
Yeah.
And we don't even know the Patriots right now. I don't think there's any sign of an outbreak right now, but obviously Cam Newton tested positive.
Well, and then they played the Chiefs.
And then they played the Chiefs, and then Patrick Mahomes hugged one of the players and said, whoops, sorry, now I have to sleep in a different bed than my wife. So
Stephon
that's
Gilmore.
Weird.
Yeah, I can't believe that was a tweet. I mean, I get it because of the times we're in, but it's like, okay, Patrick Mahomes is sleeping in a different bed than his. I mean, I don't know how that made the news.
Yeah, they're living like a
Are we gonna be like Patrick Mahomes went to get peanut butter at 12 midnight for his wife? I mean, like, do we need? I mean, I get it; he's popular, but like, do we really need to know that? Who cares? I mean,
we all now know that Patrick Mahomes lives like a couple in like a 50s sitcom, so that's a little weird, I guess.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly.
Well, got a lot of weird things going on with COVID. You had the Raiders have a charity event in Las Vegas, and I guess photos leaked from that where a lot of them weren't wearing a mask. So they basically got a little slap on the wrist.
And, you know, it's something we saw in the beginning of the baseball season, too. Like, just think of it like these are guys who are mostly in the early to mid to late 20s-ish, you know, on average is for these teams. Much like in baseball, like you saw the Marlins, like how did that outbreak start? Oh, they all just were hanging out at a hotel bar because they're all a bunch of guys who are in their 20s. They just want to hang out and they don't think that this is going to affect them like it's going to affect everybody else. So I think it's just the same mentality.
Or they're just not even thinking.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And you've also heard players be like, hey, whatever, I'm just going to treat it like an injury, you know? And then, you know, when half your team gets it, it's like, oh, crap, now everybody's injured. It's a little different than a normal injury. But, yeah, you're right. And they're just not thinking about it. You saw the Titans this week. Apparently some of the players who, as far as we know right now, have not been affected by COVID, had a practice that was not sanctioned. And the NFL, apparently other owners and teams are saying you got to punish them. You know, use the iron fist of the NFL to really punish these
guys. Talking about punishing with draft picks, which can be huge. And it's actually staff that's on the sideline. So NFL's already come out and they've fined and they've warned a lot of coaches and staff on the sideline to wear a mask properly.
Yeah, I know Shanahan's gotten fined.
And
Gruden that first week. Yeah,
I think now they're kind of dangling that draft pick above them now, saying if you don't basically go with protocols, you're just going to start losing draft.
Yeah.
So that's...
I'm sure this question's been answered, but I always thought, like, you know, some players wear like the shields over their eyes. Like, why wasn't there something put into place for the mask portion?
If you spit, it's
not 100% that it's not going to get in the other person's face. But if there's a little bit of a block, maybe it's like blocks at 30%. I mean, wouldn't it be better than nothing?
They had a prototype that I remember seeing on Hard Knocks. And they were showing it in the Rams helmet, and it was like, you know how they have a visor for your eyes? It was kind of a visor for your mouth.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, I mean, that's like blocking your airflow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
that's true.
I mean, how do you do that and run around with that type of intensity and block airflow?
I haven't played football with a helmet on, so maybe I don't know. But isn't it enough out that it wouldn't, like – restrict your airflow from going in and around? I don't know.
I mean,
I guess you couldn't wear a visor and that, right?
You didn't see any of the players out there wearing that, and there's probably a reason why.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when in baseball they introduced for the pitchers, so you don't get that, you know, it reduces the amount of concussion for like those padded hats that they had. And I think a lot of players were like, I'm good. I understand the risk. Like, I'm good. Yeah. I felt very much the same with those like weird like muzzle helmets that they were showing off. It's like at a certain point, it's like this is going to, you know, make my play worse on the field. So it's all a bit of a mess right now in the NFL, but there is football happening on the field. And we, like I mentioned, a quarter of the way through this season. So let's talk about some teams that have surprised us, some teams that have disappointed. We talked earlier about that Cleveland-Dallas game, which I feel like was one of those games with two teams going in very different directions. Obviously, Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns feels like they've been hyped for the last few years, utilizing a different style of building that team, a very like sabermetric style to build a football team, and it looked like it wasn't paying off. Now they're 3-1 after a surprising victory against Dallas, and of course the Cowboys sitting at 1-3, a disappointing start to their season. Let's see, Dan, I'll start with you. Who is a team that so far this year has surprised you the most, and a team that you think is maybe the most disappointing in the league thus far?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to have to, at least with surprising, I think we were just talking about it, the Browns. Surprise the Browns, I think. And you've seen them, you know, have to deal with injuries. Nick Chubb, their franchise running back, he's out. Throw in Kareem Hunt. Everybody remembers him from the Chiefs. Electric. But Jarvis Landry playing well. They have former Stanford guy and Atlanta Falcon, Austin Hooper, as a tight end. I'm the other guy. Who is the other tight end that they had? Big red zone target. I've not seen him out there. No, I'm talking about the Browns.
Oh, he's not on the, I know who you're talking about.
He's got
Njoku.
Yeah, is he not on the team?
I think he might have been hurt.
Because I see Austin Hooper out there, and I remember Njoku.
He was the guy to get in fantasy last year.
Yeah, he's good. Big red zone target. But you see Jarvis Landry throwing a bomb to Odell.
They're having fun, college teammates.
I mean, they're having a great time. They're doing a lot of trick plays. I like where they're headed. As far as biggest disappointment, oh man, hard to say. It has to be pretty much. Could it be just a whole division?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think it's just the NFC. NFC East
absolutely
is
awful.
NFC East as a division itself, like the Cowboys, they're on fire. Their offense is great. They could be 0-4 though.
Yeah.
They probably should be 0-4.
But if you tell me that a guy's going to throw near 1,000 yards in two games combined, you're like, okay, that's two wins, or at least one.
Not necessarily. Actually, I would say more often than not, if you're throwing
garbage
that much,
yards, yeah.
Garbage yards, and it's probably because you're behind.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that whole division is just kind of a downer.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew Washington and New York were not going to be good competitive teams this year. I also think Washington may be kind of going a little early with the QB change right now. Like, where are you going anyway this year? Like,
yeah, you can't take a guy that early.
Right, let's let the young guy try, see what you got there. It's a little weird to me. But, yeah, Philly and especially Dallas, just absolutely.
Well, one thing I wanted to add about that Browns team is I think, like, a lot of people, because of what happened with Mason Rudolph, kind of really aren't paying attention to Myles Garrett. But I say behind Aaron Donald, like, Myles Garrett is the second-best pass rusher in the league. I mean, and he's younger than Donald, but, I mean, that guy – and he's taller. So that size getting in there, I mean, he had some move where he actually bit on the running back. He bit on Elliott, and then he spun, and he still was able to go get Dak and sack him. And the guy's just incredibly athletic. I mean, he was the first overall pick for a reason. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as far as biggest surprises, I'm actually going to say the Rams. The Rams are the biggest surprise at 3-1 for me because of that schedule. I assumed it was more of a 1-3 scenario.
Could be 4-0. Could be 4-0.
The opposite of the Cowboys.
3-1, I mean, my biggest disappointment is the Texans. I mean, 0-4, Deshaun Watson, is it his time? You know, I thought for sure. I mean, I know they lost D-Hop. I didn't expect them to be 4-0. But I expected at least like 2-2 at this point, not 0-4. So
my Super Bowl pick.
Yeah. I should have picked
not looking
them,
good.
But I look at the NFC East and there's a lot of talent in the NFC East. And for the first place team to be 1-2-1 is astonishing.
Yeah. Just disgusting. Yeah. Just putrid. Terrible. I can't figure out another adjective. Yeah, Houston, what was it? Did I see J.J. Watt and apparently Bill O'Brien got into a scuffle?
Yeah.
And then, that's what led to it?
And then Bill O'Brien's out. I mean.
Can't do that.
I was talking with Doug earlier this week that the head coach GM combo doesn't seem to work.
No, it's too many jobs.
Especially in today's NFL. May have worked with Bill Parcells back in the day. I think Mike Holmgren at one point was both GM and head coach. But in today's NFL with the scouting stuff, you got to separate the powers there.
Yeah, rarely ever works.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like if you like owned a Chipotle and you were just like you're the owner, you're making the food, and then you're helping the customer too. You're not going to be able to really have quality, right? Because you just can't do too many things at once.
Hard to make quality at Chipotle anyway. it's kind of stacked against you.
Yeah, you can't balance a budget while making my burrito bowl.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're going to do them all at about 50%, right? So.
For my surprise team, I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts, which in the AFC South right now, a very winnable division, especially with Tennessee dealing with all their COVID issues right now. The rest of that division is just so-so, clearly with what's going on in Houston, Jacksonville, both not very good teams. Phillip Rivers looks completely rejuvenated right now. He's got one of the best offensive lines in front of him, and that offense is surprisingly potent. So who knows? Maybe Indianapolis, that's a 9-7 division winner to me in this AFC South. So
yeah, the Colts got the better Notre Dame offensive tackle that year.
Exactly.
So, offensive line.
You know, Niner fans talking about how great McGlinchey was, and now it's just like, oh, he's terrible.
Well, I think I don't know, he was working out too much in the offseason because it looks like he lost like 50 pounds, and I think that's where the problem is.
I think he
lost too much muscle. If you look at him, he looks like a tight end out there now.
He's doing fine. You have a couple bad games. Yeah, it's going to be
he'll
okay.
Be fine.
It's going to be okay.
I'm just living in the now, okay? Yeah.
It's gonna
talk
be
to me next week, and I'll be like, he's greatest.
Yeah.
Well, that's typical Niner fan as well.
Or maybe he just doesn't want to block for anybody else but Jimmy. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
That might be. Well, we'll find out this week if that theory is true.
Yeah.
Well, before we talk more about the upcoming week in the NFL, of course, we've got to talk about the hobby. And look, we mostly talk about quarterbacks for NFL trading cards, and in the hobby here, they are what brings everybody in. It's what everybody's most interested in. But there is a really talented crop of rookie wide receivers in the NFL this year. First and foremost being Justin Jefferson of Minnesota. Minnesota has been one of those pretty disappointing teams so far in the season, but not because of Justin Jefferson's performance. 11 catches, 278 yards, and a touchdown in his last 2 weeks. The way he's playing right now is unbelievable. And he wasn't even the most highly touted wide receiver in the draft. You would have guys like Henry Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy. CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy both have had some moments here and there. Lamb has looked especially impressive. What do you guys think of this rookie wide receiver class? Can they buck the trend in the hobby and make the wide receiver position something that collectors will want to hang on to for the long term?
Justin Jefferson, I think what it could be if he had Sean Mannion throwing the ball to him.
What if?
I mean,
breaking records.
400 yards.
You've always
500
got Madden.
Yards.
You can try and play that out
just
over there.
Sitting there, see him holding the clipboard, and I'm like, man, you're letting all that talent go to waste on the sideline.
He may be starting sooner than later. In reality,
I don't know. I don't even know if he's got to be number two, but I know Nate Stanley is on the depth chart as well. So. I don't know. That would be crushing if, like, they brought in Nate Stanley over Sean Mannion.
But one of our customers did send an email saying he might be the next Tom Brady, Nate Stanley. So
that's true. That's true.
Maybe that's why.
That's true. But Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk. Hate to talk about a Niner.
Yeah.
But
another guy. I know. I was going to bring that up too. So glad you did.
He hurdled over that guy.
Wow.
That was pretty amazing. You see that a lot with like more with running backs than you do with receivers. It was crazy to see. He cleared him by like a foot. It was insane. But somebody you should probably look out for. The Niners need to figure out how to get their receivers the ball. You can't just throw the ball to Kittle every single down. Mm-hmm. I think Kittle had like 15 receptions on like Monday night or something crazy, like or Sunday night.
Crazy.
It's literally like you're playing Madden and you're just looking for one.
Yeah, I mean that's actually how I play Madden. I have one play that I know that works, and whoever that receiver is or that tight end, that's who I'm going to. So that's pretty much how I roll with Madden. But Brandon Ayuk, the guy's explosive, and he's. He's actually a little bit bigger than I thought I thought he was a small guy, but he's not.
Yeah, he's got I think he's 6'1", but he has a really long wingspan, which is kind of incredible. And he did have a rushing touchdown the week before, which I think that was his first game in. So he's actually, I believe he's played two games. He's got two touchdowns now. So,
yeah,
you know, it's something to consider. And I think he's being overshadowed by these other three guys. But I did want to mention the Vikings. How genius was it to let Diggs go? And it kind of looks like, as of right now, that – hey, saved a bunch of money on Diggs, and now you got, you know, a guy that's maybe better. So,
well, and I mean, it also worked out for Buffalo as well.
Yeah.
Because Diggs is doing well in Buffalo on a really good team.
Yeah.
So I bet Diggs isn't bummed about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Vikings don't have a winning record, but Justin Jefferson's putting some stats up. And, yeah, I mean, this almost reminds me of like a 2011 class with when you had Julio and A.J. Green. These guys have these receivers, and also one thing to consider for the hobby. I know we say quarterbacks always sell quarterbacks. Well, there was a changing of the guard this year with the parallel era, as we call it. And some of these guys some of these new collectors may be like, you know what? I like the flash of a receiver, you know, these flashy receivers, these touchdown dances and stuff like that. I'm into that. So I'm going to start collecting receivers. So keep in mind, if you can get a Jerry Jeudy, a Ruggs, or Justin Jefferson, or even an Ayuk, he may have some time because he hasn't really had as many weeks as these other guys to really get into the ground floor if you're into that flip life and get it and flip it.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's unlike running backs where receivers can have a long shelf life. A lot of, you know, Julio Jones has now been in the league almost 10 years.
Yep.
Still, I mean, obviously Atlanta not doing very well at the moment, but he's still an elite level talent. Obviously, you see Larry Fitzgerald all these years, an all-time great, but nonetheless has been playing nearly two decades now. So, yeah, I think there might be a change of the guard here, especially with the amount of talent that is in this rookie class. And here's just a look at I've got the white prism rookie cards for these three receivers here. Jerry Jeudy, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jeudy and Jefferson both floating just around $200. And then that CeeDee Lamb, that was a couple weeks ago. Looks like it went for best offer, but it was at $1,250. I was trying to find some other comparables, but I was a little shocked that CeeDee Lamb's number is so much higher than the other two.
Has a lot to do with the market,
Dallas, right? Yeah.
The market being Dallas.
Yep.
Dallas players are always going to sell for a little bit more than everybody else.
They're like the Yankees of football.
They're like the Yankees of
football. Which kind of makes the Dak Prescott thing even more puzzling, that is. Numbers are not as high as maybe some other guys have.
But what
talent level?
Actually, all of a sudden, his cards all of a sudden went up. Like his Prism, I think I looked and they were like at 1,200 compared to Goff that was at like 250. So, it's like he's not, like I said, he's like Mike Trout of football. So.
But what are some of the guys that are well under the radar that you can actually purchase right now at a relatively cheap price? That you could flip in a week or two. Again, we talked about it last week where I think you have to be ahead of the curve. You
got
to
be ahead. You
got
Ayuk.
Ayuk and Jefferson, you may have missed the boat on that. You had to get into that 3 weeks ago. Once they've already performed, it's too late. You have to speculate and find a player and then buy it now for when they perform in a week or two.
What about like a Chase Claypool? You know, you know that Roethlisberger is going to air it out. Mm-hmm. You know,
Chase
he could have
Claypool,
a couple good games, and I'm sure he's got to be cheap right now.
Claypool, Chenault Jr. from the Jags.
Yeah, I usually typically don't like Jags players, but yeah, I think he's actually because I was looking to pick him up in the fantasy league. He's actually got a lot of targets like this year so far,
and maybe a Van Jefferson.
Yeah, I was
thinking
about Van Jefferson.
He's like the third or fourth on the depth chart for the Rams, but he does get a handful of targets. I could see him putting up a week where he gets like 5-6 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. his cards are cheap right now, so you can get into him cheap. You're not going to make hundreds of dollars, but you could make, you know, $50, $60, $70 on, you know, you can get like a 50% margin on those flips within a week.
Yeah.
And Michael Pittman, maybe, right, for the Colts?
Is Michael Pittman injured?
Is he?
I don't know.
I haven't seen him out there.
Oh, so.
Yeah, out and definitely after surgery. But so, as I say, yeah, the Colts are doing good.
So
sorry,
what Doug's
sorry,
saying is that you could buy him right now.
Well,
you
can get him
really
get
a good deal.
But, I mean, I like the fact that obviously that's he's got a name that people remember, especially our generation, remember his dad playing. So, I mean, it might be a situation where you can pick him up ultra cheap now because he's injured and maybe wait until next year.
Yep. Still a lot of options this really talented class for wide receivers. All right, let's do it. Let's make some picks. It's week five. A surprisingly good Thursday night game. If you're watching this on Friday, yeah, the Thursday night game, maybe it ends up being a stinker because that's always how it turns out for Thursday night, doesn't it? We always hype it up, and then it's like 45-3.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but it is Tampa and Chicago this week, so great way to start things off. I'm just going to start off and say I'm feeling pretty good right now about those picks. I don't know if you guys took a recent look at the standings right now, but we've got a tie at the top.
Yeah.
Are we still playing it?
I got cute last week. I got cute.
Yeah, it's time to get serious now.
I need to take a step back. I sat there and thought about it right after Sunday. I'm like, I need to get it together. I can't be making these picks.
Need to get it together.
Yeah, well, you're mathematically eliminated.
No,
you're just here hanging out now. But I think Cody, you went 2-0, right?
I went 2-0.
You almost got the trap game against the Rams. It was close.
Almost did. I started 0-2 this season. I've gone 6-0 since. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. How do I do it?
How do you do it? I mean, I understand.
I think I'm 2-6, by the way.
I understand how. I know
3-5,
like.
Doug, is I believe.
I'm 3-5. Okay.
Right. Yeah,
so. I know what it's like to just rip off 6 wins in a row. Cody knows what it's like just to rip off 6 wins in a row.
It's my time now.
Right. What's up, Doug? You know how to
Well, go, because of go that, three I, games below I, 500? I am going with the Stone Cold Locks this week. I am not messing around. I am not taking flyers. I am not trying to beat my chest and be like, I picked this. You may comment below and be like, wow, anybody could have picked those games as winners. Well, I got to get back in the win column, so that's what I'm doing. So I'm going Ravens at home over the Bengals. Yeah, no duh, right? Seahawks over Vikings at home. Yeah, no doubt.
Trap game.
It could be a trap game, but I'm doing it. I mean, it'll also make me happy if the Seahawks lose anyway because I'm a Niner fan. So I kind of a win-win there for me.
Seattle, by the way, has not – like, I think Russell Wilson right now is probably the MVP of the NFL. You can make an argument off Josh Allen as well. But I feel like Seattle has not had, like, that super dominant game since week one. Everything has been, like, right at the edge. I mean, they've got to get some good teams. But, yeah, everything has just felt, like, a little too close for comforts for Seattle.
Well, Miami, super competitive against the Seahawks. I don't like that pick. I would not be blown away if the Vikings knock off the Seahawks. So that's kind of a bold pick.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a shock.
The Vikings kind of were really bad against the Niners, and I think the Niners in this last year, I mean, obviously a different team, but I think the Seahawks and the Niners are very similar. And I just think the same thing's going to happen, and they're at home. So
all right, what do you think, Cody?
Well, I am going to go with those 49ers that you mentioned. 49ers this week have Miami. Yes, it might be a trap, but they get Jimmy G back. It's their second week in a row at home. I just feel like if they don't win this game, there's going to be trouble. It feels like it should be a slam dunk. I actually think they're going to win big this week against Miami. And then I'm going to go in the Battle of Pennsylvania. I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 3-0. They are the least talked about undefeated team in football, partly because they didn't play last week with all the COVID stuff against Tennessee, but with a week of rest and against a Philadelphia team that, frankly, even in a win, didn't look all that great last week. I think Pittsburgh here could make a big statement, go 4-0, get a big win against the Eagles.
And that right there, great minds think alike.
Oh, you just copied him, huh?
No, I didn't. I haven't. Right now. No, I had it written down, and that's why we are both 6-2.
That's right.
We understand. We just do the work. We put in the work.
It's a conspiracy to beat me.
I also am going for the Steelers. You know, they're a great team. They are a well-balanced team. Defense is looking pretty good. Philly, I think they lucked out going into Santa Clara and beating the Niners. Steelers are a better team.
Yeah.
Steelers are a better team. So I'm also going Steelers. So I didn't steal your pick, but I agree with that. And I'm going Thursday night. I'm going Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mr. 5 touchdowns last week, even though it's on a short week and it is Thursday. I probably would say never bet on Thursdays, but I'm doing it. I'm actually doubling down on this one. I have a two-part parlay on that, taking the Buccaneers money line with the over, which I think is like 45.
Yeah, Thursday night games usually low scoring.
I know, but five touchdowns. Five touchdowns.
I think the Bears need to start Trubisky for a quarter, get down, and then bring in Foles, and then the Bears will win.
Well, but you look
I think Foles starts, and then this is not going to win.
You look at – and I'm also doing a FanDuel tonight. You look at the FanDuel, and it's Tom Brady is the first guy. The second guy is Nick Foles. The third guy is Mitchell Trubisky. So they don't even really know who is going to be in that game. I mean – obviously, I think Nick Foles is going to start, yeah, but there's a chance that Nick Foles gets pulled. And if you start having rotating quarterbacks, that can't be a success.
I mean, they're
3-1. They're 3-1. I mean, crazy. This is they're in the mix right now.
The worst 3-1 team I've ever seen. Sorry,
but
sorry, Bear fans.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going Tom Brady, and that offense is moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're moving without their number one receiver. I mean, I know Mike Evans would be – a lot of people would consider him maybe 1A, 1B. But Chris Godwin, with the stats that he put up last year, he has to be the number one guy on that team. And he's been – I think he's only played
– he could have just liked Jameis a little bit better.
And I think he's only played 1 week.
Yeah. Is he coming back at some
point? He is not playing tonight. He's out. Mm-hmm. But Mike Evans is questionable. That – I think Scott Miller –
he's actually been highly targeted.
He's also questionable tonight. They have a lot of receivers and a lot of offensive weapons that are questionable tonight. But I'm still rocking with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I'll ever have it in me to bet against Nick Foles going up against Tom Brady ever again. Now you might pull out. They call it the Chi-Town special now. Maybe tonight we'll see. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting.
Crazy.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of the Mojo Break Blitz. Of course, make sure to subscribe to us here on Mojo Break Media and over at Mojo Break Card Shop. And, of course, over on our main feed, Mojo Break, for all of your live breaks. For Doug and Dan, I'm Cody. We will talk to you next week on the Mojo Break Blitz.